4.
We thank the late, great Paul Savage for that fantastic theme song, the Swap Shop theme. I've never done Swap Shop before, but there's a first time for everything, wouldn't you say? Adam here, substituting for Mr. Glenn Coble as he and his wife and his dog take a well-deserved holiday vacation to North Carolina. About 18 minutes after the noon hour. Thank you very much for listening. So what do we do on Swap Shop? Well, you can call me or send me a Facebook message and provide an item that you would wish to sell. Maybe something gathering dust in your basement or garage or spare bedroom that you'd like to instead have money for, or maybe donate. Or if you're looking to buy a particular product, that's fine too. Open phone lines for that, 740-383-9944. We can also talk about politics, local history, local events, or the topic of your choice. I'm very flexible in what we can discuss. I do want to thank my guest last hour, Mr. Lucas Wall, discussing the status of his lawsuits against the airlines and government entities for the, as we believe, to be illegal and obviously very controversial federal transportation mask mandate. We also discuss his experiences in and around the world as a person who is against the forced usage of masks. I also, by speaking with him, adjusted my opinion about when a private business requires a mask. I don't think it's a dress code anymore. I think it's a violation. And a lot of that is due to the fact that dress codes have been in effect in businesses for a long time. Ever since I've been alive, there have been restaurants requiring that you wear a jacket or a tie, not sandals, not shorts, if you're a female, an evening gown, or a skirt that's not too short, etc. That was more common when I was younger, as dress codes have gotten relaxed, but there are still fancy restaurants with fancy dress codes, and that's their right. If I don't want to wear a tie or a jacket, then I can take my business and my appetite somewhere else. But requiring a mask is a different situation. That is a new phenomenon, and it is not like a dress code per se. And I appreciate his explanation about that. And like any program that we air on this station, if you miss it, that's okay. We won't send you a ticket. We won't even get upset because we understand you can't possibly listen to this station 24 hours a day. So go to our website at WWGH1071.com and listen to the show of your choice. This program is under Scott and or Glenn at 10 in the show archives section. This hour, though, will be under the Glenn Coble section for A Progressive Life and for Swap Shop, even though today I take the reins in substitution for Glenn. Wishing you all a happy Christmas-quanzica, whatever it is that you celebrate, Festivus, they celebrate on Seinfeld, and looking forward to throwing away 2021 on the calendar and welcoming in 2022. Let's hope that it's a good one, as John Lennon famously said. Phone number to talk about the topic of your choice. Try to stump me on a trivia question or provide an item that you'd like to buy, sell, or trade is 740-383-9944. If you're interested in what Lucas Wall is doing, and again, that's whether or not you agree with him, as certainly it will elicit strong opinions, his website is lucas.travel. It discusses his lawsuits, his thoughts, his experiences, and also previous sections discussed his myriad of travels through the United States and the entire world. It's quite fascinating. His latest update is December 19th, where a federal judge refused requests by the Orlando Airport and transit authorities to dismiss a lawsuit challenging their enforcement of mask mandates as violations of Florida law and the state constitution. The Greater Orlando Aviation Authority, which operates the airport, and the Central Florida Transportation Authority, which runs the Lynx bus system, asked U.S. District Judge Paul Byron to dismiss Plaintiff Lucas Walls claims that the state agencies are requiring passengers to cover their faces in direct defiance of Governor Ron DeSantis's May 3rd executive order prohibiting any government entity from mandating face masks and the June 11th Florida Court of Appeal decision, finding public mask mandates are in violation of the Florida Constitution's Privacy Clause. Byron denied these motions to dismiss in a decision issued in a case involving not just the two state agencies' face covering dictates, but also the federal transportation mask mandate and international traveler testing requirement. It is a hot topic, and also, as we discussed, this is going to be ongoing. I don't see the COVID issue ending. There will certainly be changes. There will be variants. And we're going to be involved in this, I would say, indefinitely. And the controversy, I don't see that as giving up anytime soon either. We'd love to hear what you think about that. Did you listen to the last hour? And what are your opinions about what he is doing? Again, pro or con, they are both welcome. If everybody agreed all the time, the world would be a pretty boring place, wouldn't it? In addition to listening to this station the old-fashioned way at 107.1 on your FM dial, you can listen over the internet at our website, wwgh1071.com. If you have a smartphone, a not very smartphone, a tablet, or a computer, you can use TuneIn. The app works really well on the mobile device. The website works well on a full-size computer. Download the TuneIn app. It's free for iPhone or Android. And then search for WWGH in Marion and listen that way. So we give you a plethora of choices. And if you're a Facebook friend of mine, you can go to my Facebook page and you will see that I'm broadcasting a live video of this program. See, I just waved hi. So many options available to you as a listener and person who enjoys the programming at WWGH Radio. So, in the 10 o'clock hour, we went over some interesting, quirky news stories, as I like to do, as I wait for telephone calls. This hour, we're going to continue with something we started, which is a list of what the experts feel to be the 25 worst presidents. Of course, we have our opinions about that. Richard Nixon, you know, he is in there, and he was discussed previously. We're going to go from number 8 to number 1. And I left you in suspense as we stopped at number 9 when the clock hit 11 a.m. So, who is considered to be the number 8 worst president in the history of this great country? Well, drum roll please, boys and girls, because this is the president with the ties to Marion. And that would be Warren Gamaliel Harding. Warren G. Harding, considered by the experts to be the 8th worst president in the history of the United States. His administration was wrought with scandals. The Teapot Dome was one of them, including bribes, oil companies, and the first imprisonment of a presidential cabinet member. Many of his friends in office were also corrupt, using their power unscrupulously for personal gain. And while Harding may not have been involved with all the corruption directly, he was far from a stand-up guy. He cheated on the First Lady multiple times, and Politico dubbed him America's horniest president. Okay, I'm just quoting what a publication is saying, but not commenting thereon. Unfortunately, he did have a heart attack, and he did pass away in office. So his legacy as a president, probably not as good as his legacy as a Marion businessman, the Marion Star, etc. But in this area, he will certainly elicit conversation and controversy. His grandson, Jim Blasing, has been on with Scott many times and discussed Warren Harding's personal life. And if you've missed one of those programs, I encourage you to go to our website under the Scott Spear section and listen to the programs in archives, as Jim has not only been fascinating, he's been very candid and an excellent guest and one of the my favorite guests that Scott has had on. So Warren Harding's legacy, a big topic here in Marion, and according to the experts, he's number 8 of our worst presidents. So who's number seven? Well, that would be Millard Fillmore. He would be the president with one of the most unusual names, and also, I would say, probably our least known president. Not a lot really is known about Millard Fillmore. Like Zachary Taylor, whom we spoke about earlier, he's also in this list. Millard Fillmore, that's also kind of hard to say, was tasked with fixing the tension between slave owners and abolitionists. But instead of fixing them, he just slapped on a bandage, an immoral and unjust bandage. And that was the Fugitive Slave Act. These laws allowed slave owners to capture runaways anywhere in the United States and drag them back to work. They also increased punishments for anybody involved in helping slaves escape. After his term, he openly opposed President Lincoln, and Lincoln is ranked as the number one president during the Civil War. So that certainly didn't help him. So a president who obviously did things that were very bad, to put it mildly. Millard Fillmore, he is ranked to be the seventh worst president. We're going through the experts' list of the 25 worst American presidents. We've not heard from Donald Trump yet. Now, will he be in the top six, or maybe he is considered one of the best presidents? We'll have to find out. If you enjoy presidential history, and considering all the presidents from Ohio, and of course President Harding, it's hard not to be a presidential enthusiast if you live in this area. We encourage you to listen to my friend Dr. Ron Feinman, who is on with Glenn, just about every Wednesday between 12:15 and 1 to discuss presidential history, current history, and everything in between. Also his website, his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I read that every day, and I often don't agree with what he has to say, but I do enjoy his erudite sightings of history and the idea that we can learn from past mistakes. So he's been an interesting guest. He's been on with me. He's on with Scott from time to time. Somebody we encourage you to become acquainted with if you are as interested in the U.S. presidents as I am. Adam here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, almost 12:30, and it's warming up quite a bit. It started out chilly and frosty on this Thursday, but the thermometer is now becoming much friendlier. We are having swap shops, so if you have an item you want to sell or buy or trade, give me a buzz here at 740-383-9944 and tell me about the item. We will try to get a buyer matched up with a seller, so to speak. In addition, you can talk about politics, current events, history, presidents, the weather, sports, the topic of your choice. Even if you don't agree with me, that's fine. As I say, if everybody agreed all the time, the world would be a pretty boring place. This list of the 25 worst presidents, it's intriguing, so let's continue with that. Who is number six? Well, William Henry Harrison was the first president to die in office. Now, when he did, nobody knew what to do. So, Vice President John Tyler stepped up to the plate, helping form the 25th Amendment to formalize the line of succession for the president. And as you probably know, if the president passes away or resigns or is impeached to the point of where he must leave office, the vice president takes over. However, in the case of John Tyler, he didn't do a very good job. He was the first president to be impeached after allegedly misusing his veto power. But the impeachment failed, just like it did with Clinton, and of course, twice with Donald Trump. America was stuck with him for the remainder of his term. Now, in his obituary, the New York Times called him the most unpopular public man that had ever held an office in the United States. So, not a good presidency for Mr. Tyler. Number five is William Henry Harrison. Now, William Henry Harrison is the opposite of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Roosevelt served over three terms, but Harrison only served for little more than a month. He died of pneumonia 33 days into his term. He didn't have enough time to leave much of an impression, but before entering office, he served as governor of Indiana Territory, before our neighboring state of Indiana was a state. His primary objective was to secure title to indigenous land and take care of any indigenous people who retaliated. According to History.com, Harrison was quite a ladies' man. He had 10 children, but 6 of them passed away before he entered office. One of the survivors, Scott Harrison, became the father of Benjamin Harrison, his grandson, the 23rd president of the United States. Adam here, substituting for Glenn Coble. If you can watch my Facebook video, you will see that I'm trying to hold back a giggle and a smile. And you probably know what that means. We are discussing what history experts consider to be the 25 worst presidents in U.S. history. So, again, I am trying to hold back a giggle. So if I sound a little giggly, I apologize. But I think you're going to giggle, too, when you find out who number 4 was. Drum roll, please. Well, you're right. Number 4 is Donald J. Trump. Anyway, Donald Trump scandal. Donald Trump's presidency, according to the experts, and again, this is the experts talking, not me. I'm just telling you what that they say. His presidency was marked with scandals, pardoning war criminals, being impeached 2 times, mismanaging the COVID-19 pandemic, refusing to accept his loss in the 2020 election, and an alleged role in inciting riots on the Capitol building in January of 2021. And again, that is the experts talking, not me, but whether or not you like Donald Trump, he is a controversial, divisive character. If you'd like to know what I feel about him, there's good and there's bad. I feel that he got things accomplished, he was good for the economy, and he's someone that you kind of hate to love because he does grow on you. However, as a man, I think he had many shortcomings. Many. And he could do a much better job speaking in public and I think learning how to communicate. Those are not his strong points. So, a divisive president and, in my mind, somebody I have strong opinions about, good and bad. Certainly a very different president than the current one, Mr. Biden. Donald Trump does rank last in the category of moral authority. So, I will leave it at that. The experts believe that Donald Trump is our 4th worst president of all time. And I provided a quick assessment of what I think about Donald Trump. I think everybody I know has an opinion about the guy. And he certainly is our most unusual and interesting president. I'm not sure we're going to have a more interesting president in my lifetime. But we shall see. So let's do the top 3. Again, Adam here, you're welcome to call. You can provide your opinions about this presidential poll. Who do you think are the worst presidents, the best presidents? We've already indicated that Abraham Lincoln is considered to be the best president, and I would agree with that. Richard Nixon was in our list of worst presidents, but if he was not involved in Watergate, I think he would be on the top 10 of the best, because he did accomplish many things. He was known as a foreign policy wizard, but Watergate was certainly his downfall. We also have Swap Shop if you want to buy or sell or trade an item. Let me know. We'll get the word out there, and hopefully buyer and seller can meet and come to a mutually satisfactory and beneficial transaction. And again, questions, comments about my discussion with Lucas Wall last hour, current events, Marian history, that is all fair game. I would love to hear from you. 740-383-WWGH. So let's get back to the non-giggling section of this worst president's list. Who is number 3? Well, that would be Franklin Pierce. The Compromise of 1850 allowed Franklin Pierce to begin his term in a period of relative peace, but that was short-lived. He tried to organize Western territories in order to build a railroad from Chicago to California. During this process, he passed a bill allowing residents of new territories to decide the legality of slavery for themselves. This led to violence in Kansas as Northerners and Southerners fought for control of the territory. The Bleeding Kansas incident contributed to the coming of the Civil War. According to reports, when his own party refused to renominate him for another term, Pierce responded exactly as you would expect one of the worst presidents to respond. And he said, "There is nothing left to do but get drunk." Okie dokie. Adam here discussing what historians believe are the 25 worst presidents. And in case you're wondering, Donald Trump was number 4. No comment from me. I gave a quick assessment of what I think about Donald Trump, but the historians feel that there are only 3 presidents who are worse than he was. So number 2 was Andrew Johnson. When President Lincoln was assassinated, President Johnson took office. Now, Lincoln was ranked as the best president, but Johnson, Andrew Johnson, as we had 2 unrelated Johnsons, that's the second most common name in the country. Anyway, 2 Johnsons. When Andrew Johnson became president, it was because Lincoln was assassinated. Lincoln's considered the best president, and I agree with that. Johnson is the second worst. Now, Lincoln, as you know, freed the slaves in the Civil War, but Southern states began implementing black codes to limit those freedoms. Now, radical Republicans disapproved of how Andrew Johnson handled the situation and made it their mission to fight him in everything he tried to do. Because of that, he is considered to have the worst relationship with Congress of all presidents. So number 44 on that list, worst congressional relationship. Now, Johnson had a bit of a rags-to-riches story, and that's something which makes America great when somebody from minimal means becomes rich and possibly famous. America is the land of opportunity. His father died when he was 3, with the family having a very poor life at that point. At 14, his mother sent him away as an indentured servant to a tailor, according to NPR. After 3 years of that, he ran away. Now, the skills he learned came in handy. He would actually, at a later time, make his own suits when he was president. Could you imagine someone like Donald Trump making his own suits while in office? So Andrew Johnson, someone who accomplished things as a man, but had a very poor presidency, to put it mildly. So, which president has the dubious distinction of being the worst president? Well, that would be James Buchanan. So, exactly why is James Buchanan considered to be the worst president of all time? Well, he was considered to be clueless. He thought that tensions over slavery, which had reached an all-time high, would take care of themselves. And I would say that that would be a very poor outlook. It's not quite that simple. Instead of finding new solutions to new problems, he defaulted to old constitutional doctrines interpreted by the Supreme Court. He considered territorial conflicts between the North and South, the precursors to the Civil War, to be, quote, happily, a matter of but little practical importance. James Buchanan's oversight left the Democratic Party in shambles. It even split into 2 parties at one point. Now, this upheaval helped Abraham Lincoln win the election and serve the best presidency of all time. So a lot of extremes during the mid to late 1800s. And again, U.S. history was not something that I really enjoyed when I was a kid. I did like the study of presidents, I liked geography, but I wasn't big on the history book stuff. But as an adult and getting older, I realized what I was missing. And if you are a younger person, definitely pay attention in history class, ask questions, and learn about the heritage of our great nation. You'll be thankful for that. And as an adult, I have certainly modified my opinion a bit. I'm still a math and science and computers guy, but you really appreciate the great heritage, all the things that have gone on here in the great United States. And, you know, in Marion, the Warren G. Harding legacy, the controversy, that certainly goes without saying. as well as the other presidents that have been from Ohio. And maybe in my lifetime we'll see another president who is from the great Buckeye State. Certainly Mike Pence, I think he wants to be president. He's from neighboring Indiana. We will see what will happen. But whatever it does, it'll certainly be surprising. As many people were shocked that Donald Trump became president, me being one of them. And Joe Biden, I would say, not as much of a surprise, but he did pick and successfully picked, that is, he won the election, the first female vice president. So he certainly made history in that regard. Never really can lose interest in the fascinating study of the U.S. presidency and vice presidency. I can tell you that much. And between our regular calls with Dr. Ron Fineman and the Warren G. Harding legacy here in Marion, it is a very hot and fascinating topic. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where we broadcast 24/7, not only the old-fashioned way, but over the internet at our website, WWGH1071.com. We do have Swap Shop currently, where you can call and have an item for sale, want to trade a product, or maybe you'd like to request that somebody sell you something which you would need, holiday present or otherwise. If you want to communicate with me via email, that would be fantastic, because I love to get your messages. And as I mentioned, we have a private email server, just like Hillary and Melania. But unlike Hillary, we certainly do not delete messages without reading them first and always replying, even if it's a quick thank you for taking time out of your day to communicate with us. Adam at WWGH1071.com. You've probably heard about fishing, not where you take a rod and reel and try to catch a trout or a bass. Fishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, where you receive emails that claim to be from your bank or a store or some other legitimate entity, but actually are from an entity trying to hack, steal a password, get you to go to a website that could infect your computer, etc. Not surprisingly, phishing is on the rise this holiday season like it has been for all of the most other recent holiday seasons. Proofpoint is an enterprise digital security company, and they reported that their researchers are seeing a massive global increase in holiday-themed mobile phishing attacks. And there's a word for those, and it's called smishing, S-M-I-S-H-I-N-G. So more words for you, smishing, which are holiday-themed mobile attacks. Now, they noted that the volume of mobile phishing attacks has almost doubled compared to this time last year. So not only does phishing increase for the holidays, but it increases year to year. And that's not surprising with everybody working at home, many people working at home, people using the internet, people sending emails, social media. I will not surprise one bit that phishing, which has always been a serious problem, has become seriouser, if that's a word. Now, messages, phishing messages, are promising everything from package and gift delivery to special retail offers and special delivery exceptions. Jacinta Tobin, she is from Proofpoint, an enterprise digital security company. She is their vice president of CloudMark operations, and she said there has been a trend the last few years of scams and smishing, that is, phishing or fake emails designed to hack or otherwise cause damage that are holiday-themed, related to the holidays and holiday themes in the fourth quarter of the year. We have seen steady growth from both our U.S. and global scam and smishing reports starting in October and increasing through December. Ben Brigitta is from Expel, a service provider in Northern Virginia, and he explained that phishing attacks increase during the holidays because people are more susceptible to social engineering targeting their desire to show their loved ones that they care. He said it's not unusual to get advertisements promising great deals around this time, or to have somebody ask if you want to chip in on a large gift. Attackers can send an email about a deal that's too good to be true for the hot new toy, and people will fall for it. Right now, one of those hot new items is the PS5. A lot of social media posts about that, and that very likely is a targeting of these smishing attempts. He said they can impersonate a manager and ask for someone to pick up gift cards for everyone in the office, and it actually makes sense, so people do it. Magni R. Sigurdsson is a senior manager of detection technologies at Siren, a cybersecurity firm in Northern Virginia. They focus on protecting businesses from phishing attacks and data loss. Noted that SMS, or text messages that are phishing, like you get a text message telling you to click on this link or that it's from your bank or something like that, that these text message phishing campaigns have increased because there are more mobile users and devices than there were a year ago. He said phishing is a commercial enterprise, so cybercriminals adapt to changes in consumer behaviors, just like legitimate businesses do. John Bombanek is a principal threat hunter at NetEnrich. They're in San Jose, California. They are a digital security operations company. He said, as consumers rely more on mobile devices, it's only natural that attackers will focus on those platforms. That's especially true considering that the click rate on text message attacks is so much higher than on emails, and the fact that there is relatively far less security on mobile devices. It really is easier to click on a link in a text, and people are likely to be less cautious. So folks, if you do get a link on a text that looks even slightly suspicious, it probably is. If it smells like a rat, again, it probably is. So attacks have absolutely increased, and they'll continue to do so. Another expert, we're talking about phishing and smishing attacks, fake emails, fake text messages designed to get your credit card number, social security number, banking information, etc., that they are increasing all the time, but especially in the holiday season. So holiday-based phishing is called smishing. Anyway, Hank Schless is another expert. He is a manager for security solutions at Lookout, and they're in San Francisco. They are a provider of mobile phishing solutions. He said that there were significant increases in enterprise mobile phishing at the end of 2019 and 2020. For example, check this out. From the fourth quarter of 2019 to the first quarter of 2020, volume increased 87%. You think that was a lot? From the last quarter of 2020 to the first quarter of 2021, volume jumped 127%. That's a lot, and it's very disturbing. He said the interesting thing is that from that point forward in 2021, threat actors didn't relent, and the encounter rates continued to increase through the first three quarters of 2021, showing that this is a significant problem that's here to stay. In a blog, it was noted that cybercriminals prey on mobile users with smishing attacks that claim to be from reputable companies, including prominent retailers, e-commerce brands, and parcel delivery companies. Like myself, you've probably got many messages claiming to be from UPS or FedEx that you are pretty sure were fake. And again, if it smells like a rat, it probably is. I get those all the time, and that's where I wear out my delete key. These lures attempt to steal personal information from unsuspecting targets. That is UPS Of course, it's not really UPS, but it might claim to be. It'll say that they might need your banking information, your social security number, etc. When you look at it and realize not only is it not from UPS, but they have ulterior motives. Many of these lures request credit card information to resolve an issue supposedly related to the purchase or delivery of a non-existent item. In other cases, the attackers attempt to steal personal information through a web address or a landing page. Again, they're getting pretty sneaky. So please, folks, be vigilant, be cautious. And yes, if it smells like a rat, I can assure you it probably is. There are no clickable links in an email, which was about supposedly a high-ticket item that someone had bought. And I've gotten those also, where it says, thank you for buying this video game, this computer, etc. It asks you for credit card number or a login, saying there might have been a problem with the payment. Many different scenarios. But, you know, folks, if you didn't buy the item, then in all likelihood, that email is an attempt to defraud you. And if you have a question about an item that you recently bought, call the vendor. Call Amazon. Call Best Buy. Call Walmart, wherever you bought it. Take a look at your receipts. Take a look at your credit card records. That should pretty much straighten it out. And if you do get one of these fake emails about a large ticket order, one thing you can do, hit the delete key and get on with your day. Don't give these people the time of day because that's what they want. They want attention. If they can't rip you off, attention is the next best thing. In this type of scam, an attacker would want to obtain account credentials, credit card numbers, or other sensitive personal information from the recipient. Ray Pugh is an expert. He is a security operations manager, and he said the uptick in consumer purchases during the holiday season provides an abundance of opportunities for attackers to dupe people into disclosing sensitive information. Fake purchase receipts, invoices, and shipping notifications are particularly likely to prompt recipients to click links or call phone numbers listed in the phishing email, given recipients are expecting these types of emails at this time of year. So the call to action is strong, and attackers' odds of success are especially high during the holidays. So again, if you get one of these emails purporting to be from UPS, FedEx, the Postal Service, or from a retailer, Amazon being probably the most common one, and something doesn't seem right, more than likely it isn't. So you may want to contact the retailer and see if that's actually what they sent you. But again, in most cases, you already know the answer. We can't stress enough the security that's necessary, especially during the holiday season, as these attempts to defraud people are spreading like a weed, to put it mildly. And I hate to hear that someone got ripped off, that his or her valuable savings were spent making one of these fraudulent operators rich. And we do hear about that, and it's very sad. So bottom line is, folks, be careful. If there's ever a question about something that you get in an email, contact the party that supposedly sent it, or feel free to ask your friendly neighborhood computer technician. Better safe than sorry, and the only stupid question is the question that was not asked. Adam here, about 4 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Still time to chime in, talk about politics, sports, local events, local history. That is all fair game. I am substituting for Glenn Coble this hour, as I did between 10 and noon. Glenn will be back next week on Wednesday for the program that he shares a mic with Scott Spears. And then Thursday, 10:15 to noon next Thursday, he is on by himself. And then on Friday between 10:15 and noon, Scott Spears, the first hour, and Pastor Steve Whitaker, the second hour. Lots of programming at this station. If you need to know when a certain show will air, we suggest that you go to our website and look up the program schedule section, as there are many programs here and we're constantly adding and adjusting what we provide to make this great station even greater, WWGH1071.com. Programming schedule, learn about myself, Scott, and our other hosts and hostesses, and probably the most popular part of our website is the part where you can download, listen to, and share archives of thousands of programs that we've aired over the last almost 6 years. WWGH Radio is now the only station in Marion airing a complete obituary report every day at 10 after 8 in the morning, 10 after 10, 12:10 p.m., and 4:10 p.m. We also encourage you to like us on Facebook. If you're not already a fan of our station, please become one. Your brain cells will certainly thank you, because you're not going to go away from any program on the station with less intelligence than you did when you started listening. In fact, your intelligence will increase as you listen to the programming on this station. I guarantee you that. Your brain will be stimulated. You're going to laugh a few times, and you're probably going to want to listen to an encore of the show, which, of course, you can do by going to our website. So on Facebook, search for WWGH in Marion, and be sure to like our station. Not only is there extensive amounts of information and photos, but pretty much every day we provide updates on upcoming programming. It definitely is worth the click, so to speak. The Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, has a free produce market on the second Saturday of every month between noon and 2 at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street. Free fresh food to local individuals and families in need. No appointment, pre-registration, or paperwork is required. Individuals simply will be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide name and phone number of people and their family. You must be income eligible. That is the second Saturday of every month, noon to 2 at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion. Adam Lepp, about ready to hang up my headphones. I want to thank you very much for listening. Thank to Lucas for calling in and talking about his important work and philosophies during the 11 o'clock hour. Scott Spears has a great program for you tomorrow with singing and other fun and surprises. Have a great day, folks. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.